This morning's scripture lesson is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God." God said to Abram, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you shall be circumcised when he's 8 days old, including the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring." Here ends the reading.
A lot of pressure to name a child. It took us a long time to decide on names, well, at least on boys' names, We still have an unused girl's names that we won't ever get to use and that we still love. But naming the boys was more difficult. We had all these family traditions to consider. Like, all the men in my family have Daniel as a middle name. And Everett continued that tradition, but then we had to decide to break it with the twins. Each generation in Ben's family has some variation on the name Evan. Ben is Benjamin Evan. His mom is Neva, N-E-V-A. Our niece is Carenza Aven, A-V-E-N. And we chose not to use Evan at all. I'm a favorite with the in-laws. Naming twins is especially hard, particularly male twins. You can't exactly go with Cain and Abel, or Jacob and Esau. And we felt like twin names should go together in some way, but how do you make that work? Do you match the letters of the first name? Do you make sure they rhyme? Ezra and Cyrus do, in fact, go together. They are connected. And if you can figure out why and tell me on the way out the door, you get bonus points today. But names also get associated with different things or different people. And that can make or break your choice. For example, I really like the name Abraham. I think a little baby boy Abe would be really cute. And for a while, Abraham Daniel was the first contender, the top contender for Everett's name. And then one night, as we were talking about names, Ben starts singing, "Baby Abraham has many sons, and many sons has baby Abraham." And that's the night that Everett Daniel won out. But here's the thing. In the scripture we read today, Father Abraham does not have many sons. He has one at the point of our reading today. And the thought that at 99 he is going to finally have one with his wife Sarai, well, if we had just read a little further, we'd find out that that thought made him fall on his face laughing. Last week we caught God looking in the mirror, deciding who he was going to be and how he was going to relate to his created world. God decided to make a covenant not just with Noah, but with all of creation, promising that God would not destroy the world again. God makes this promise knowing that humanity is going to mess up, knowing we are going to sin against him, and we are going to be violent with one another, and we are not going to be very faithful in our relationship with our Creator. And yet, God chooses to keep chasing after us. God chooses to bind God's self to us in covenant relationship. As the book of Genesis moves from Noah to Abram, God narrows his focus a bit. While the covenant with Noah includes all of creation, with Abram, God chooses to invest in one person, one family, one people. God calls Abram, promising in chapter 12 to bless him and make his name great so that he will be a blessing. God's hope seems to be to work with this one family, not to the exclusion of the world, but so that the world may also be blessed. Abram is an interesting choice when it comes to patriarchs. He's childless. One would think that one of the defining characteristics of a patriarch would be kids. He and Sarai bear a great burden because of their infertility. See, for them, there isn't really a vision of heaven and hell as we understand them in their worldview. The way that they would have thought about living on would have been to have lived on in their children. Plus, in a world without Medicare, Being childless makes them even more vulnerable as they age. But God says that from them he will make a great nation. And they believe God. God tells them to leave their home and go to a land where he will show them. And they go. They believe God. God renews God's promises in chapter 15, making promises to Abram of descendants and of land. And that's the scene that I talked about in the children's story, where God asks Abram to look up at the stars, to try and count them. And God tells Abram that his descendants will be like that. And Abram believed the Lord. But Abram and Sarai are still childless. After years and years of waiting, after close to 11 years of waiting, no baby. They try to secure an heir on their own by using Hagar. And it brings out the worst in them. It reveals cruelty and contempt and indifference within them. They are not portrayed as the heroes in that story, nor do they act like heroes in that story. In some ways, that part of the story reminded me of God's thoughts after the flood that we heard last week coming from Genesis 8, where God said, "I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth." God knew that humanity would let him down, but God chooses to be the kind of God who remains faithful, even when his created ones are not. But these chosen and called ones still wait. 13 years after the birth of Ishmael, we come to today's reading. And Abram is 99. 99! Sarai is 90, and God says, "Now. Now I will give you and Sarai a son." Can you imagine? We have folks in their 90s in this room. Any of y'all want to bear and care for a child? No wonder Abram falls down in laughter. God clearly isn't limited by the boundaries that we might put on ourselves. God doesn't stop calling people to be a part of his covenant because of their age, or perhaps any of the other excuses that we might give. God's call comes regardless of gender or social status. It comes even after we make mistakes, sometimes even big ones. It comes even if we fall down and laugh cynically at the impossibility of it all. God clearly is not limited by the boundaries we put on ourselves and on each other. But God's covenant does require something of Abram, and it requires something of us as well. Barbara Brown Taylor points out that up till this point, the covenant has been all about what God will do for Abram. God will give Abram land and descendants that outnumber the stars. But now we see that God wants Abram to do something as well. Verse 10, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring forever. Every male among you shall be circumcised." There is a mark. There is a symbol of the covenant. Similar to the rainbow with Noah, there is a reminder, a visible symbol that makes clear that things are different. And the covenant moves away from just being an intellectual assent to something bodily, something lived and acted, as Walter Brueggemann names. You can see the whole quote of that in the top of your bulletin. The children of God should have skin, quite literally, in the game. Faithfulness requires something of us. And it marks us as different. It marks us as distinct. It is a change that can be seen and recognized. A change that permeates mind, body, and spirit. A change that is so great, it even impacts what we are called. One thing Ben and I learned when we got married is that it truly takes an act of God to change your name if you are a man in America. I got a sheet of paper that I had to turn in with the marriage certificate. That's all I had to do to change my name. Ben had to practically petition Congress. We had decided that we would move to four names rather than hyphenate or lose my maiden name or lose my middle name. So I took Ben's last name and kept my maiden name as a second middle name. Ben added my maiden name as a second middle name for him, and it took him months to pull this off. He had to have something like 6 points of identification or else go to court. It was crazy, and it remains crazy because do you know that no form is built to accept 4 names? You can only put 3 names onto any standardized form. So, of course, we decided to give our kids 4 names, too, so that they could join in the fun. We had lots of reasons. Our names needed to change because we were changing. Our relationship to each other, it was changing. Our relationship to the world, changing. Our roles and duties, and in many ways, our callings were changing. And so changing our names was part of that. It was part of our recognition and our embrace of the change that was happening inside of us. God changes Abram and Sarai's names in this scripture. Who they are is changing. Physically and spiritually. Their relationship to each other, their relationship to God and to the world is changing. And so God took the action of changing their names in order to match that reality. Whatever our parents may have named us at birth, whether that's 3 names or 4, we get called all sorts of different things throughout our lives. We get named and labeled all the time. Sometimes in good ways, sometimes less so. We get named for our careers or achievements. Doctor, president, teacher, administrator, pastor. We get named for our relationships. Sister, brother, mother, father, spouse, child. For good and for bad, we can get names for our personality traits. Naive, bubbly, cynical, odd. We can also get named for our lack or for our need. Widower, barren, ill, too old, too young. And sometimes we name ourselves. We name ourselves out of our shame. Lazy, useless, not good enough. In this Lenten season of reflection, what are the names you have? What are the ones that reflect who you are? What are the ones that reflect who God has called you to be? And which ones might need to be changed? As a part of the covenant that God establishes, God takes action to change names, to change our names. Whatever else you are named, God names you. God names us. Family. Beloved. Blessed. Called. God gives us a name to reflect the reality that we are His. God calls us God's people. You are God's. You are God's. In everlasting covenant, you are God's. You and you and you are God's. Amen.